Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. What a great morning. What a great opportunity we have to be in God's house. I hope we never take it for granted. I hope we look at that and enjoy the freedom that we have to do so and look at that and celebrate that time as important as for our life and what we do together. Appreciate you being here. I know yesterday, man, just this whole weekend, long and hot and people out and going, and I appreciate the fact that you made it a priority to be here this morning. A lot coming up between, camp. We can't say enough about it. As you can tell, our staff just believes in it. We believe in it. We want you to believe in what camp does for the life of students. And for those of you who give way beyond, I mean, you don't have kids, but you give to make that a reality, I just appreciate that. For those of you who give so faithfully week after week to help our church just continue on, without you, it just can't go. That's just the way it is. And so we appreciate that. Camp is important. Encourage you to get there. All the different things. Baptism in 2 weeks. If you've never been baptized, that act of obedience, we encourage you to follow up with that. The same as our family gathering. We're going to talk about community today and the need for community. And that's where we build that. As well as you need to come. Those of you who help pay to get kids to camp, you need to come that Sunday night out at the bars so that we can come and you can hear, you can see the result of camp. You can actually see this is what you helped invest in. This is what kids' lives, what happens in kids' lives. We've been talking about really the recipe. What's the recipe? What is the recipe as we looked at? And there's many things that we've studied and looked at to see what's the recipe for life, for what's the recipe for trust, what's the recipe for happiness, all these situations. So we're going to continue that today. But we're going to take a little shift because I'm somewhat of a crazy thinker anyway at times. Don't giggle. But I started thinking about recipes and all that, but there's certain types of eaters. It's not just about the food, what's the recipe for food. And a lot of it, I realize, can be summed up in the way you look at a plate. The way you look at your plate. So I started thinking about the relationships on the plate. Now, some of you can go to these fancy restaurants. I've never figured this out. I'm not one of those kind of guys. Look at me. And we pay a lot of money. And it's really posh, I guess. Stupid, but posh. To pay a lot of money to have them bring you a plate with one item on it. And maybe a little fancy sauce drizzled over it. You know, write your name on it or something like that. And you're just supposed to just drop down and die because it is the best thing in the world. One item on that plate. Now, some of you also are eaters, like, they'll bring you a plate, and there's stuff on the plate. Here's your pork chop, here's your beans, here's your mashed taters, whatever it is, or maybe it's at home, and none of it better be touching. None of it. How many of you are like that? Do not mix my food. Anybody like that in here? Anybody true? Oh, I see halfway hands going like this. Okay, yeah. They don't want their food touching. Now, some of those people who are like that, not all, but some, they also eat. Have you noticed people who eat one item at a time? In other words, I'm going to eat all of my mashed potatoes. Potatoes, eat, eat, eat. I love to eat mashed potatoes. I have a brother-in-law who does this. I watch him, man. It's like a vacuum cleaner, too, so he just... Meat, you know, here. Potato, rotate plate, bean, rotate plate, pork chop, usually ask his wife to cut it up for him. I hope this is not listened to. You know, cut it up for me, pum, done, gone, out, bye. I mean, it's just like a marathon. So you have those who like one item, some who don't want anything touching, and some, man, it's almost like it's the one bowl meal, Jack. I mean, they bring, and it's put it in, it wouldn't matter. It would not matter. I mean, it can touch, it can cross over. Some of you like gravy over everything and all that. You know, I'm somewhat that way. I don't really care. I mean, I want it somewhat separated, but I find it this way, especially with like leftovers or something. If it's Chinese food, kiss it off, man. I don't care what you, how many boxes you had there. I take a big bowl, poo, microwave that sucker and just stir it all up and start eating. That's what I do. It's just, yeah, it really seems on the plate. Yeah, now some of you say, Pastor Bill, once again, I don't know where you get relationships out of that. Because some of us are like that. Some of us are the loner, the one thing. One person. We live just us. I don't need anybody, don't want anybody. I'm a loner. There are those who then are kind of the guarded. They're on the plate with them, but don't touch me. Don't touch me. Just stay away a little bit. Just give me some space here. And then some people are just like the always. I don't think they know what alone time is, being quiet and alone. They're just always with people. And if it's not that, they're talking on the phone, man. They're 14 different things going at the same time. It's kind of like I used to use in analogy of relationships, because that's what we're talking about today. The relationships of the plate sometimes relate to the relationships we have. And some people as well, you go to the coast. Have you seen those people who stand on the sand and they just kind of wiggle their toes and maybe they'll get their toes wet, their feet wet around their ankles. Maybe. That's kind of like that relationship. Okay, I have some acquaintances, but I'm not going to invest too much. Then there are those who they'll go down there and they'll get about the knees and they'll watch the waves. They get about the knee level, but if they watch the waves, because if there's a big waves coming, what do? They're back. They're back. They're not being safe. They're just saying, I don't want to get wet. And some people approach relationships like that. I'm going to wade in here. I'm going to get just a little deep here, just a little knee deep. But if I see somebody coming that really wants to have this relationship or best friend or whatever, I'm out of here. I'm backing up. And then there are those, if you watch the beach, you see these people who just, they start up here, they just run right in, they just dive into the water. All about relationships, they're just all in. The issues of relationships, what is the relationship for community and what is the relationship? We have a need for community. We have been speaking over and over about the major command is to love God and love people. Do you realize I think loving God at times is a whole lot easier than loving his people? You should say amen because you're one of them, okay? At times loving people is difficult. We say, okay, I got to love God, I love people, but the very fact of loving people shows the need that God has that we must have community, that we are built around community. Independence is not the goal of the Christian life. In fact, just the opposite. We need to have dependence upon Christ and support from the body of Christ, support from our brothers and our sisters who bear our burdens, who help us, who encourage us, who stimulate us to good works, who pray for us. It's about the body. It's about the community that we bring, that need for community. Christ wants us to have community. Adam, when he was created, remember, before sin had even entered the world, God looked at the garden. Everything was good. Everything was good, except for one thing. Adam was alone. And so he creates Eve. And at that point in time, he is complete, and it's all good now. But even though before sin entered in the world, Adam, because God made him a human who needs community, he was alone. It's not the same as having a pet. Some of you look at your pets as your community. That's because they don't talk back. That's all. And it's great to have that. But the animal can only do so much to help meet your need. To help pray for you? I don't think so. And we have that need for community. And so we must, and yet, at times, because community is difficult, because relationships are hard, we find ourselves back in this. We write songs, I'm a rock, I'm an island, and the rock feels no pain, and I need nobody. That's not true. No man is an island. God did not create us to be that way. So this morning, I want to look at authentic relationships. I want us to look at what are some of the elements that make an authentic relationship. In the book of John, chapter 15, verses 9 to 15, he is writing to us. He says, as the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, and he laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. He's talking here about the need of authentic relationships. And in this passage, he gives us so many things that we can take out of it to look for authentic relationships. And it begins, obviously, with the issue of love. The foundation of a relationship is love. Now, obviously, we've got to define some of those terms because there are so many levels of love. We know that in the Greek, they give different phrases for love. We say, okay, I love this, I love that, and we don't really differentiate. We just leave it to the person's mind to make that priority. The Greeks didn't do that. There's the agapeo love, that agape love of Christ, but beyond that, there's phileo love, storge love, eros love, all the different kinds of love. And we have to define that term, but the foundation here is love, an authentic relationship. It begins, though, with loving Christ. That's what he says. If we don't love Christ, we're not going to be able to love the others around us. To love God and to love people, to value them the way God does, to see them the way God does, to value them that way. Valuing every person as he does. We see so much about 1 Corinthians 13, how it spells out what love is and what it's not. And we look at that and we say, this is what love is. And in our relationships, the foundation, the desire to have relationships, the desire to have friendships, the desire to be able to impact in people's lives, we must have that. But the foundation from thereafter is the fact of love, that Christ loves us, and we can therefore love others. If we do not love Christ, it's impossible to take that into love others. Unfortunately, little is taught on relationships in school. We can have tech savvy, we can be math savvy, we can have all these things done. But when it comes to relationships, it has become pretty much trial and error, hasn't it? Mistakes and hurts. And we learn the technical skills, but we miss the people skills and the social skills. Christ wants us to have that authentic relationship, that foundation of love. Now, relationships don't end with love. That's what we usually think. Oh boy, I've grown to love that person. And that may be true, but it starts with love. That we value that person, every person, as God does, and it starts in a love relationship that you care for them. So when you meet this person, whether they become these close, fast friends, whether they're part of the community, they realize that what's motivating you is the love of the Lord Jesus. They treat me differently than somebody else, than the world does. Now this last couple weeks, bear with me for a moment. You've heard this phrase. Now this message was supposed to be last week, and I deviated that because of the Supreme Court ruling, but this was already studied for and written. We refreshed it. I had to refresh it because I heard this phrase over the last few weeks, and I want to clarify something here. So just bear with me, and some of you will not like it. But I've heard this phrase over and over and over, and the phrase is, love is love. Really? Really? When you hear that phrase, did any of you stop as I and say, what does that mean? You defined a term with the same term. Love is love. And some of you have bought this phrase. You have texted me and called me after even last week's message, and some of you put it on Facebook. It's just love is love. And I would love for you to explain to me what that means in light of our society today, what love is. Love is love. Identify, please. The Greeks could do that. So I guess what it's saying is that is everything and anything is okay if I love it. Are you with me here? If love is love, everything goes. In other words, love is the standard by which every decision is made, because if I love it, it's okay. So therefore, I become the standard, the absolute, because love is love and I love that. I tell you what I haven't heard in the last few weeks. From believers alike. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of the sinful man, the lust of the eyes, the boasting of what he has or does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires will pass away, but the man who does the will of God will live forever. We talk a lot about this, love is love. And I'm saying, hey, wait a minute, you got to define that term. Not all love, nor all objects of love, good. Selfish love is not good. Impatient love is not good. Jealous love is not good. Selfish love, where it's about me. And how many times we hear, but I love it, therefore it's okay. And that's what our society too, that's the wisdom of the world that says, well, love is love. And that is the standard by which now everything is measured. Well, it's okay because it's all done in love. The basis of our relationships is the agape love that says death to self and submit to others and to love others the way in 1 Corinthians it's love, it's patience, it's kind, it's good, all of those things. The foundation is love, but the essential ingredient is also, when you find a relationship like that, it's also replenishing. Do you have relationships that, man, they just replenish you, you're with people, and they just, you walk away and you go, wow. That's just a replenishing relationship. Because replenishing, he talks about even here, some relationships just drain and drain and drain and drain. It's just like they suck the life out of you. While other relationships are one, they give you life, they encourage you, they stimulate you. Relationships are to bring joy. In fact, he said that in John, that, man, I give you this, that your joy may be complete, that you have this. I want you to have the joy that I have in relationship. I no longer call you servants. I call you friends. Well, listen, there's to be joy in our relationships, and relationships are to be replenishing. Are you a replenisher? Or do you look at your relationships and what people can bring me versus what I can give to them? How can I encourage them? And relationships are a give and take. Sometimes we're down, and somebody else needs to replenish me. And sometimes things in my life, I need to replenish me, but sometimes there's things that I need to replenish in others when I see them. Another element of a relationship, obviously, is communication, and I don't need to go on about this, but you know what? Can I challenge you to do one thing when it comes to relationships that you have, and it's going to be found really, really simple. Can I just encourage you to talk? Listen. I appreciate our society and our cultural evolution into so much of our social media. But you can't express emotion in different things, in a text, in an email. And you know what? That doesn't replace sitting across from somebody and looking in their eyes, seeing the expression on their face, seeing their countenance, to know. Communication is necessary. Communication, to talk, to connect, to laugh. And then the other thing with communication is we've gotten to the point, do you ever initiate that communication? Do you ever initiate that contact, or do you wait for somebody else? It's amazing. I got people in my life who step back and say, well, I haven't heard from you. You didn't call. I didn't know I had a one-directional phone. I didn't know that. Sometimes when God impresses upon your heart to call somebody, to talk to somebody, to connect with somebody, do it. Initiate. And within that, tied to that communication, practice the element of forgiveness. Relationships need forgiveness. Not if you're asked. It's just, man, I just practice the essence of forgiveness. Okay, I'm sorry. I just forgive. It's all right. There's a sense of we forgive the way God forgave us, which is not about, well, when he asked for forgiveness, I'll talk to him. Or when she asks for forgiveness, I'll do this. But until then, I'm not going to do that. What happened to the aspect of Christ is just to forgive, to be a forgiving person. I think another element within our process is understanding. Man, we become so self-absorbed in authentic relationships, you cannot be self-absorbed. It becomes all about me. I wish that we would come to the point where we would ask the question, when something went wrong or if we have a communication that just seems off, do we ever ask the question, I wonder what's going on in their life to make them respond this way? Do we get mad at their response, or do we ever ask the question, I wonder if something's going on in their life? That they're responding, but that's not normal. Do we ever ask that question, would this person normally do that? Would Pastor Paul normally respond this way? Is that something that's characteristic of his life? Man, I wonder what's going on. Or this friend or that friend, do we ever ask? Instead, we come up with, well, I thought you were my friend. I thought you were my friend. You can't treat me like that. You never would. Instead of just saying, it's all about me, instead of saying, turning around saying, what's going on in your life? This isn't normally how you would respond. And the issues of authentic relationship, listen, the relationships that God occurred, it's about sharing life. Jesus said in this passage, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends. Paul and Timothy did the same thing. Paul told Timothy, you know all about my life. Jesus said, a servant can't ask what the master, he doesn't see the big picture. He doesn't know what the motive of the heart. You're just to obey. And he said, but I no longer call you servants. I call you friends because I want you to see my heart, my life. You know all about me. You know everything. Paul and Timothy shared that relationship. And he's looking at us and saying, listen, if you're going to have authentic relationships, it's no longer just about a servant, how you can serve me. It's about, are we sharing life together? The goods, the bads, the ups, the downs. Do we share these things together? Sharing life together. Not sharing just information, but feelings. It's easy for us at times to share, especially men. Man, there's a level of relationship where we share first what we know, then we will share what we think, and then we will get to the point, maybe in a very few issues, of sharing how we really feel. See, I can share what I know. I know this, I know that. I know you take a Phillips head for a Phillips screw. I know you take a, you know, hammer nail. I know things. And in relationships that go a little deeper, guys will share what they think. Well, I think this or I think that. But in a few relationships, men will get to the point, even with their spouse, where they begin to share their heart about how they feel about something, how that impacted them, what they feel about it. And it's tough when you get there. I have some counseling advice for women who are married to men that don't often get to that level. But when they do get to that level, here's my advice. I've said it before. Be quiet. When they're to the point of letting them talk about their feelings, just be quiet. Don't interrupt. Now you see a bunch of women. Women don't care about what you know. They even care less about what you think about something. You get a bunch of women together, man, they're right down to the feeling. I feel this, I feel that. It's just the way God made us. Share life together. The feelings of life. I often wondered why God wanted us to have community. Beyond all the things he gives us in the Word. You know, it makes you, I mean, all the things that in the Word, pray together, rejoice together, share life together, all of those things. But I often wonder why. And as I prepared for today, I really realize the reality is that relationships are to demonstrate the wonder of God. They really are. That a relationship with him changes the way we have relationship with others. That we don't have the friendships the way the world does, that are abusive or using relationships. How can I use you? It's not about being used. It's about the other person instead of me. And in that, it demonstrates the wonder of God. That our relationships to other people, believers or non-believers, people are going to say, man, there's just something different about that person. And our relationships around us in the church, in this community, are to demonstrate the wonder of God. Are we perfect? No. Will we fail? Yes. Will our communication suffer? Yes. But we must see the need to have authentic relationships together in a body, in a community, so we're not alone. We're not in a cave that closes the door and says, let no one in. We are to invest in others and let others invest in us. In authentic relationships. Are you the lone pork chop on that plate? Are you the one that has the plate that's full, but boy, we're not going to touch and keep my space bubble so I have an image? Or are you the one that's all in and just mixed up and say, you know, here's my life. My life's a mess, but welcome to it. And have the relationship so that we'll show the wonder of God to this world. Love not the world, but let them see something different in the relationships that we have and that we share. You need relationships. You may think you don't. I don't know. I know they're a pain. Yes, at times they are. But the blessing far outweighs the burden when you do them the way God wants them to be done. Let's pray. God, you give us a relationship with you through your Son. And that relationship is not just to be kept between us. That relationship is to be shared. And God, I pray that as we look at our life, that we will not have a desire to be alone, to be a loner, to be an island, but that we will have a desire to invest in the lives of others. That we will have a desire to show the world the way proper relationships are lived out. What friendship is all about. Not about self, but about a community of each esteeming others and helping others, encouraging others. Thank you for this community, for this body. May we love one another as you have loved us. May we practice the essence of forgiveness. May we demonstrate that agape love in this fellowship. For it's in your sons that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys.